part of the human culture. In fact, this is not unique only to humans. Our distant relatives, like monkeys, chimpanzees, apes, baboons, they too have a very complicated social status hierarchy system. Researchers have found out even among ants and some other insects and other species also have these similar behavior and social status. Looking at from evolutionary point of view, that is how human beings organized societies in order to function them effectively to achieve the goals. On the other hand, those who achieved higher social status, they had better chances of spreading their genes to future generations. So among the human beings and the other species, within the group, there was always competition to achieve higher social status. When we are born to this world, we are born to a particular type of social order, a kind of status. It can be your caste, your race, your religion, your clan, or anything similar to that. In caste system, certain castes are considered as superior and others are considered as inferior. So people may go to the extent to say that my clan is superior to your clan. My religion is better than yours. My race is superior to your race or your ethnicity. So in this way, people will go to the extent to debate about it, argue about it. They will quarrel over it, and they will discriminate each other in human society. And in some cases, they will marginalize some other groups, and even to the extent to have violence, war, and many other miseries. In some other societies, there is no caste, clan, or racial discrimination based on social status, but however, they might have other denominations like class system. Whether you recognize whether it is a caste or class, the concept is same. Some are considered as superior and the others are inferior. Based on these class systems, of course, based on your wealth, then you may be considered as upper class, who has got so much wealth, power, glory, so on and so forth. Or there might be middle class people or lower income class people, the lower income group or class. In airlines, we come across business class and economic class. There can be societies and clubs specifically reserved only for members. So in this way, there are also different divisions based on class. Some other social status are achieved through education or by profession or skills. So these are the people who develop particular skills and knowledge and different occupations, and their social status are also part of this. So human society is quite complicated in that sense. And we can see in every human society, either in a formal way or informal way, either in a visible way or invisible, subtler way, there is always social status hierarchies. That is part of being humans. Can we ever create a human society where every member enjoy equal status? Well, in my opinion, such a thing will be only a utopia. Cannot exist in reality. Throughout centuries, and even going back to the human history, we can see policymakers, lawmakers, social reformers, politicians, great religious thinkers and philosophers, they have tried and they are still trying to create such human societies where justice, righteousness, equality is exercised. Today we are talking about gender equality, human rights, and all these wonderful and noble ideas. Looking at from the Buddhist point of view, Buddha always encouraged human beings to develop noble human societies based on such wonderful concepts like dignity, compassion, empathy, respect, tolerance, understanding, righteousness, and such ideas were upheld by the Buddha and his followers. So looking at from the Buddhist point of view, it is possible for us to change the human society to a greater extent through education and by changing the thinking through mental training, which ultimately the Noble Eightfold Path. That is what transforms ordinary human beings to become compassionate and wise human beings. That is ultimately transform those who follow the path to become enlightened ones. However, Buddhism also recognizes while it is possible for us to change the human society to a greater extent to exercise these ideas, eradication of discrimination from human societies is impossible as long as the root cause of this issue remains in the human mind. According to the Buddhist teachings, only enlightened human beings are free from these concepts of social status hierarchy. In Buddhist teachings, there are three concepts related to this particular concept. These are known as mana. The word mana literally means measuring. Every minute when we come across another human being, we will measure that human being. Sometimes we do it unconsciously, and it happens in the mind. And sometimes we do it consciously, and we are aware. And we come to kind of judgment about that particular human being. So Buddha talks about three types of such views or judgments, which are known as seyyamana, sadisamana, and hinamana. Having seen another human being, you might create the concept that I am superior to him, I'm better than him. And you might compare yourself with that human being and come out with the idea that I am superior to him. The base for this is egoism, not deep understanding. And then, of course, this is measuring, a defilement. Another occasion, it can be totally opposite of it. Hinamana. In this particular case, when you come across another human being, you might feel inferior, and you might see he is superior to me and I'm inferior. In this case, you might suffer passively in your mind. You feel miserable. In another case, it is possible, having come across a human being, you might think, I'm equal to him. Sadisamana. In this case, of course, when you say that I'm equal, then of course you might think, well, he also has got a degree, I also has got a degree, for what I had to care him. He is also so-and-so, I'm also so-and-so. So in this way, it's still mana, measuring. So all these cases, there is a measuring. Either you measure yourself as higher or equal or lower to another. So this is relative. And this is ordinary state. And that is happening to everyone. Only enlightened human beings completely eradicate this particular process, what we call mana, measuring. And the rest of the human beings, even those who achieved first, second, and third stages of enlightenment, they still have some degree of measuring. Only arahants, the fully liberated ones, are completely free from it. Now, what happened one day when Buddha was going for his alms round, a man who was believed to be from a superior caste, having seen the Buddha coming from afar, he said, Tatreva mundaka, tatreva samanaka, tatreva vasalaka, tittasi. You bald head man, stay right there, don't come here. You recluse, you outcast, stay right there, don't come here. These are the words spoke by that man to the Buddha. Buddha very calmly and compassionately asked in return, "My dear friend, do you know who is an outcast and what make an outcast?" Of course, this man replied that he really do not know what makes an outcast and who is an outcast. Then here onward, Buddha gave a long sermon, which is recorded in Vassala Sutta, the discourse on outcast. I'm not going to elaborate entire discourse here. However, those of you who are interested in this social aspect of the human beings, which is the socialist status hierarchy, whether it is based on caste, class, or any other denomination, you may wish to read this discourse because it will widen our understanding. In this discourse, from the right beginning to the end, Buddha emphasized his stand on this particular matter. He said, "Najaccha vasalo hoti, najaccha hoti brahmano. Kammano vasalo hoti, kammana hoti brahmano. No one is superior or inferior by birth, but by practice." Now, if we were to go by the concept that someone is either superior or inferior by being born to a particular ethnic group, to a particular religion, caste, or race, in that case, it is impossible to develop further. It is impossible to develop the ideas such as equality, justice, righteousness, human rights, gender equality. All these are impossible. Such a human society will go downward because everything is fixed when you are born. So Buddha rejected this idea. And in fact, when we have that fixed idea that one is higher or lower by birth to a particular social group, then that is not progressive, and such a society, in fact, not conducive for any kind of human development. But then Buddha said, by action, one is superior or inferior. So now what Buddha is promoting here is meritocracy. We should give the priority to human actions. Human actions have got so much power, and we can change entire world. So if we go by the value of giving a proper place to proper human being based on his or her skills, knowledge, and abilities, such a human society is progressive. And whether it is political, economic, social, or any other aspect, such a human society is progressing towards the development. So Buddha rejected the idea that one is higher or low by birth, and he emphasized but by actions. However, we should not forget here, Buddha, when he said by actions, he emphasized so much ethical actions. So throughout the discourse, Buddha gives an ethical definition to mean who is an outcast according to ethical value. As human beings, we are endowed with great intellectual capabilities and capacities. We are endowed with the great virtues. We can exercise great compassion, tolerance, understanding, gratitude, and many other wonderful virtues. Being such wonderful human beings and having such wonderful abilities, if a human being were to choose to behave in a such a way that which is not suitable for human dignity, and then Buddha recognized that person is not suitable in the sense heat and outcast here, outcast from the human race in that sense. So Buddha recognized evil, wicked, immoral, unwholesome actions as the marks of an outcast. No one is an outcast by birth, but by action. From the right beginning to the end of the discourse, Buddha used 26 verses to explain who is an outcast, what makes an outcast. At the very beginning onward, he talks about those human beings who are killing, stealing, and taking what is not given by force, or those who engage in sexual violence and telling lies, and all these evil, immoral, unwholesome actions. And then he labeled them those who do such actions and know them as outcasts. In one of the verse at the very beginning of the discourse, he says, Eka jangwa dvijang vapi yodapanani hinsati yassa pane dayanatti tang janya vasaloiti. If a human being injure, torture, kill, and destroy other living beings, whether they are born from a womb or whether they are born from eggs, it means all the kinds of living beings that we are visible here. If anyone were to kill them, yassa pane dayanatti, one who doesn't have compassion towards the other living beings, tanjanya vasalohiti, know him as an outcast. He is not a decent human being. So that is why Buddha called him an outcast. But that outcast does not have any social hierarchy that we ordinarily recognize in the society. Buddha, in fact, cover up in this discourse political, economic, social, and the spiritual aspect of human life. Towards the end of the discourse, the Buddha has another the verse which I like to quote here, which he regards the sons and daughters who are very rich but do not take care of one's own mother and father, and Buddha recognized them as outcasts. He said, Yo matarang wa pitarang wa jinna kang gata yobbanang pahu santona bharati tang danya vasalo iti. Mother and father, they are very, very old. Their bodies are very weak. Gata yobbanang, youth is gone. They are very weak. sons and daughters, they are having so much wealth. Pahu santona bharati, but doesn't take care of their old age parents. By such actions, recognize such a son or a daughter is an outcast because that person simply does not understand and does not uphold one of the most basic virtues, which is gratitude. Gratitude is recognized as the most basic virtue in the Buddhist teachings. If any human being fails to recognize the gratitude, and such a human being is in fact, from the Buddhist point of view, incapable of upholding the other virtues, because when you fail to uphold the most basic virtue, and we do not have much expectation from such a human being. So Buddha recognize those who do not know gratitude, especially when it comes to parents, and such a man or woman should be considered as an outcast. So, from the Buddhist point of view, no one is superior or lower by birth, but by action. Even though in human societies we have all these denominations, the Buddha like to give a different definition to what he means as outcast, quite contrary to the common belief and acceptance in his day. Okay, this much is enough as a talk. Huh?